We have a few things that we are going to be doing this afternoon. We have, I think the House and the Senate are going to reconvene pretty soon here. So I think my understanding is that we are going to simply go over a list that has been provided by the House on items that are in their that came from the House, and then we are going to break. We're going to make sure that we meet with our staff to have a very clear understanding of all the items, small and big, and make sure that we have covered everything we need to cover. And then we will reconvene after we do those two items. So for now, Representative Mariani, Mr. Chair, I believe that we are going to hear from you, and I suspect that we will have a list as well.
Right.
But for now, that's kind of what the plan is. And if you have questions as we move forward, or if you have a suggestion, members, please let us know. Representative Mariani.
So, Madam Chair, I'm real hopeful that we can just wrap this thing up today. I do appreciate the spirit in which we've approached our conversation here. We do have an offer. I was actually frantically looking for my House Research staff person because I wanted her to read that off. And so let's see if we can just locate her. I know she was just outside a minute ago. Okay. And then we'll also print that out so that you all have copies of it. It looks like I have it here, so I can do this.
Okay.
So
I want to make sure that our minority members were informed. Okay. I know we have the staff of the Senate here. I did send a message to Senator Nelson that we were here. Let's just make sure that all of our members, I presume all of our members have been informed. They know we were meeting. We posted it.
Madam Chair, all our members are informed. Our two, we have one DFL members. Our DFL caucus is having a caucus on a non-controversial issue having to do with medical marijuana.
Oh.
And,
just
so
that.
I can't imagine why she isn't here instead of there. And I do believe that our GLP member has been informed as well. This is an offer that we've all we've discussed, and so there isn't anything that Representative Sawatzky or all are unaware of.
Thank you.
So let me how do I turn this on, Peter?
Is that Peter's phone?
It's Peter's phone. So I better read it fast before it goes off. Don't go far. So Madam Chair, the House recommends that we adopt in Article 2, Section 3, the repealers that were offered by Representative Erdahl. And again, we'll get you a copy of this. And then also, or rather, in Article 3, Section 2, the ALC provision offered by Representative Bly. We heard some testimony about that yesterday, or the day before, rather. Then in Article 3, Sections 12 through 14, the House MTLE provisions. And then we propose the House PSEO in Article 3, Section 1. We then propose the Article 3, Section 50, this Representative Detmer's provision having to do with the high school league without the 504 plans. And then, if we want, we have testimony from advocates on that. And then Article 3, Section 54, that's the St. Louis County School District Board meetings, and I hope we have that map to show you. Good. So we do. Article 3, Section 55, this is a New Glim High School League provision. Article 2, Section 29, these are the Senate, this is Senate article. So everything I've been talking about is House. This is the Senate Article 2, Section 29. it's a repealer. However, it would be redundant to do the second repealer in there. That's the 120B35 sub 4. Apparently, that's already been settled. And then we offered to adopt the shared repealers in Articles House 8, Section 9. There are the unsessioned articles. However, each body has one repealer that we don't do, so we're just simply proposing that we not adopt the ones that each body didn't want to do. And so there's the provision having to do with the Family Services Collaboratives, so we would back off of that, and then we would back off of the research. It was a research program, a research on teacher effectiveness repealer. So essentially we would just trade off those two repealers that were not existent. So we wouldn't repeal those two repealers. And then on the Kyle Herman law provisions, we did communicate with the appropriations, our House appropriations folks. They were uncomfortable with us making any action on this. I did share with our chair, frankly, that I thought Senator Nelson made some really good points, but, you know, they want to be able to keep that decision in their realm and don't want us to trump it. And there's a small $85,000, you know, cost attached to that. But what we do want to offer is, because we think there's an opportunity for us to shape policy. I know this is a little unusual, but what we do want to offer is to go ahead and amend the Kyle Herman law provision with the CBIN language that that comes from the Senate bill, Article 3, Section 11 and 13. And is that in their appropriations bill?
It is.
Okay. And so we would be sending a message to the other conference committee that we've made that action. We haven't adopted this because you guys want to act on it, but we have acted to amend that language to incorporate the CBIN language. And that does several things, is my understanding, including addressing some of the concerns that Senator Nelson had with some language that we attached on the House floor from Representative Quam. So it would make that language unnecessary, essentially removing that language. And Madam Chair, the final thing I would say is that these are offered in the spirit of come back and tell us, you know, what you want to do with these provisions, and we're very open to, you know, working, you know, not banging heads with the Senate, just working with the Senate about that, and in the hopes that we can wrap this bill up today, preferably.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. An issue that I think that the members need to know, we just were caucusing a minute ago in the Senate, is there is a clear understanding by finance and leadership that finance provisions will not be moved in policy because they risk the possibility of being excluded altogether. So I want to make sure, Representative Mariani, that we have quite a few that we need to review carefully.
Okay.
It's just not the Kale Herman and Sieben that may have to come out, but there's a couple of ELL provisions that you and I care very deeply about.
Right.
And so I have to digest kind of that direction right now, just because it's very this is very important to me, some of the decisions that we made. But I also understand that for us it was incredibly important that we proceed with the policy pieces, which are our responsibility as a committee. So I think we are going to have to review carefully all of the provisions that have money attached to, and we may have to consider removing those. So that's just for a point of information, so that members are aware of kind of the complexity of it.
And Madam Chair, I think that's wise, considering the unique, you know, situation we have with, you know, the Appropriations Conference Committee that does carry a number of pieces where policy is intertwined pretty closely with finance. I'm a policy chair. The particular policy piece on the ELL stands alone in my mind. I think it's actually good, progressive, you know, policy informed by really good cutting-edge practice and research across the nation. But I do understand, you know, just the way this, you know, session has been set up, where it's very difficult to move, you know, really good policy, you know, pieces because they may have costs attached to them. So certainly open when you come back to your thoughts on that.
Representative Bryan.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. I just wanted to clarify what you were saying. Are you saying that the Senate has advised you as chair not to include positions in this bill that may have financial implications that are included in the omnibus supplemental bill? Or, I mean, is that I'm trying to hear how definitive that position is, because some of the language might or might not have money attached to it depending on the actions of the Supplemental Budget Conference Committee. So I think the difficulty I see as a member of this committee is it puts us in a difficult position to let go of language that might in its own have policy implications independently of the money that we might not want to let go of. So I'm just raising that issue, that it's not as clear a line as maybe others might perceive it to be.
Thank you, Representative Briner. That's why the chairs keep saying that we're going to miss you. So you're articulating the actual problem that we as a committee have to deal with. So basically, when we come back, it's just not that simple that we understand the policy, we all agree to it, and there was an appropriation that we agree or disagree on how to treat it. It is an appropriation, whether we agree or disagree as to how the department should handle it, how the tails should work. So because for those different provisions, there are different conversations about finance. And so the finance chairs just want to make absolutely clear that's not our decision. I think we know that, but they just want to make clear that when you move policy that is clearly tied to finance, and we all know that, I just want to make sure that everybody at the table, the members are very understand quite well what that means, and we knew that we had to come to that place. But I think I'm just repeating and making sure that we just make that decision here, because if not, somebody else is going to make the decision on our behalf, and I don't want that, because that's what this conference committee was to be put in place, was to make that decision. So I would rather us make that decision and not just say, oh, well, this was a piece of policy that we care very deeply about, we all supported it, and then it went to finance and it's gone. So we just need to make that clear. So that's rather, you know, what I'm trying to articulate here. So we will have that conversation, so we're going to have a good break in order to go through the list, in order to go through that conversation. Members, I don't know if you have a question. You also have a letter from the commissioner articulating some of the issues that the department wants us to know about. So that letter has been distributed. You now have a copy of the list. And you also have, I presume those are all the documents that we kind of have received. I believe we have a letter from the commissioner and from Mr. Roger Aronson. So he articulated something with respect to some language that they have a position on. So if there is anything that the public would like to share with us, this is the time, because we need to know what your position is. So whatever, you know, your concerns are, whatever your input is with respect to any of these provisions, please make sure that the chairs both know. So don't count on saying, you know, Carlos will help me, so I don't need to talk to Torres Rey. Like, make sure that I talk to Torres Rey and she can fight with Carlos. So don't do that. Just make sure they let us know, because then you put us in a place where we really have to have long conversations, and then Carlos has to talk to his members, I have to talk to my members, and then we have to just spend a lot of time. Just let the chairs know. We will let our members know, and then we will move forward. Members, do you have any questions? Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair, I know that Nami would like to say a few words, and so I imagine it would be appropriate to set up a chair at the opposite end of the table and maybe drag a mic over there so that it's on the record.
Fantastic. We can do that. I mean, if people wish to say a few words, we have to leave this room in about 10 minutes because there's a press conference.
Right.
So we can definitely, you know, hear from a few of you. And then welcome to the committee.
Thank you. For the record, Sue Abderholden, Executive Director of NAMI Minnesota, and thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to speak about the high school league issue related to eliminating five people who are on a 504 plan, and I really want to encourage you actually to leave that language in. In our experience, you know, when you have a child who's younger, who has more outward behaviors, ADHD, things like that, they tend to get caught up earlier in the system, typically by third or fourth grade, and end up on an IEP. You have a middle school or a high school student who develops serious depression, even the beginnings of bipolar disorder, they tend not to be on an IEP. They tend to be on a 504 plan because you already have a track record of the child generally doing well academically. And so for those children, they tend to be, frankly, targets for bullying. They tend to have more difficulty getting along with others. You know, they tend to be more isolated. And for them, sometimes they do switch schools to be in a smaller class or a smaller school size. Their anxiety in a large school can be really difficult as well. And so they're on a 504 plan. They, too, you know, if they are involved in sports, that's a great way for them to be connected to others. And we don't want to have them lose out on that opportunity to continue to be involved, especially if they're good enough to be in varsity sports. So, you know, I would urge you to keep them in. If it turns out that we have this huge wave of kids and it becomes a problem, I'm willing to come back and look at that language. But I just don't want to eliminate the opportunity for these particular students, especially when you have those more inward symptoms of losing out on the opportunity to be involved in sports and other activities in their new school. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Abderholden. That's very helpful. Representative Mariani.
Madam Chair, I just want to be clear, and we may ask staff to help us with this, but my just kind of listening to the testimony, I believe what's in front of us applies to high school students and not to all students in our K through 12. So I just want to make sure that, I'll simply look for a nod, you know, from research about whether I'm accurate about that, you know, what's in front of us in terms of a decision.
Ms. Abderholden, so this does not apply to the younger children?
That's correct. I'm just saying that they tend, if you get identified earlier with a serious mental illness or ADHD, you're going to be on an IEP when you get to high school versus a young person who develops their symptoms in middle school or high school. They tend not to as much be in an IEP and tend to be on a 504. So I know it applies to high school, but I'm just saying that those kids tend not to be in an IEP.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is helpful. Anybody else in the audience who wishes to share a concern about, please go ahead and join us.
Or encouragement is always welcome.
Yes, absolutely. Encouragement is good. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, members. Cindy Crest with the Minnesota Association of Colleges for Teacher Education. You won't be surprised to know that I want to speak briefly on behalf of the House recommendation to adopt their language on the metal basic skills testing provision. I think you've been hearing from some of our students and members this week. You probably would have heard from many more if it wasn't for the fact that it's finals week on many of our campuses. So necessarily our faculty and students are more focused on that and finishing up the year. But I just want to assure you that the reason we're supporting changes in this provision is not that we don't care about accountability, not that we don't care about assessment, not that we don't care about quality, but we're concerned about a single test. Our students are performing well on the pedagogy test. You've not heard us complain about that or want to get rid of it. Our students are performing well on the content tests. You haven't heard us complain about that. We don't want to get rid of it. Our students are working hard on the EdTPA, the performance-based assessment. which I think eventually will tell you and school districts much of what you want to know about how well they've been prepared to actually be teachers. Our only concern is with one test that we believe has been shown very clearly by student performance on it and analysis of that performance to not be a valid, an effective, accurate measure of what our candidates know and can do. We've talked about many problems with the current test. I won't take the time to do that now because I know your time is short. But we don't believe that it's accurately reflecting the basic reading, writing, and math skills that our students bring to the programs. We have assessments that are required already in all of those areas as part of the programs, often to be admitted to them. So we really, frankly, our members would have liked to see more than is even in the bill, but we understand that progress is often incremental, that you want to move slowly and thoughtfully and carefully to seeing how we can ensure that we're getting the best prepared teachers in classrooms. And so we really appreciate the approach that you're advancing this year. And our 31 member institutions and their thousands of students and hundreds of faculty would all love to be standing behind me here reinforcing this message. So we really encourage you to look carefully and, we hope, adopt those measures from the House bill.
Thank you very much. Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question. I know I'm a long ways away from my college days, but if I recall correctly, at the end of my college years as a senior, I had to take some competency exams. Do we still do that in colleges? Are colleges requiring on their own kind of basic skills test before a student graduates that they must take competency exams to show competency in writing, for instance?
Senator Clausen, members, I'm not aware of any tests at the end of programs that measure those, what we've kind of been calling basic skills. It's much more typical for our programs to require those assessments in order to be admitted to a teacher preparation program. So many of them have their own writing assessments, for example, or they will identify a specific college-level writing course, and students have to get, an A or a B, or in some cases perhaps a C, depending on the course, in order to be admitted. So those kinds of assessments are very routine in our programs, but they're more front-end admissions requirements rather than end-of-program competency requirements.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Christ.
Madam Chair, members,
I'm
Roger Arnson. I represent the secondary school principals and the high school. I just wanted to alert the committee that, with the direction from Representative Breinart yesterday and the chair as well, Representative Bly and I met a couple of times. We talked about language on the area learning center issues that I know he went back and talked to ALC directors. I actually talked to some principals about it as well. We've exchanged some language ideas. I know that a letter has come from the commissioner saying that the commissioner didn't like the language as it existed. The commissioner wasn't involved in these discussions, but you'll see some new language, we hope, by the end of the day to discuss, to resolve some of the issues, for example, that Representative Russo raised the other night, and narrowing that provision and adding some pieces in it. So and those have been provided to staff and various members. So that part is going to come around a little bit today. The other piece we wanted you to be aware of is obviously we support the Senate provisions that are on the PSEO pieces and do oppose those provisions that are in the House. We think the Senate's approach is very thoughtful. And everybody knows the arguments on both sides of that, but we do think the Senate provisions are something that we can handle and manage in schools very, very well, and so we'd urge you to adopt that as well. Finally, I know the Senate proposal has the study on competitiveness on the high school league. I might say that was added on the floor. We'd ask you not to adopt that. I would say that either of the two chairs that are here, anytime you want us to come in and talk about those issues with the league, we would come and do that. But the structure of the mandate in that fashion, we'd ask you not to do it in that manner, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Clausen.
Madam Chair, thank you. Does the Minnesota State High School League routinely review their tournament policies and procedures? And
Madam Chair, Senator Clausen, we do. And the position in the request here had to do with competitive balance, and there are very complex issues in that, and we work on those all the time. We're trying to work on them more. These are some political issues. Should the private schools play in the and the high school league should the wealthier schools be someplace different than the less wealthy schools because of the advantage they have. They're very complex issues, and they're difficult to solve. They work pretty well to have the 20-member board of the league do that, and we think we've succeeded relatively well in that. But, yes, we review these routinely.
So this is House language, right?
Yes, it is, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Valerie Dozeland, and I represent the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. And I just would like to stay on record that MASA supports the Senate position on the PSEO provisions. Like Mr. Aronson said, we believe that that's a more thoughtful approach in helping students be able to access PSEO. And I wanted to mention briefly, I think some of you have heard that higher ed institutions feel they can't talk about the financial benefits of PSEO. I have copies here of various different higher ed institution websites where they talk about the financial benefit and who pays for the cost of PSEO. The University of Minnesota, Northwestern College, Normandale College, Anoka-Ramsey College. So I don't think just allowing an all-out advertising, allowing higher ed institutions to advertise about the financial benefits of PSEO really gets at helping students access PSEO. And this notion that they can't talk about the financial benefits, we have lots of examples where they do talk about the financial benefits and provide students that information. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Dozeland. Please, welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Eugene Piccolo, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Association of Charter Schools. Speaking in terms of the closure clause in Article 3, Section 41 of the House bill, we had been in talks with the department for the last few days, and I know the commissioner sent a letter saying she opposes the taking that out, and we have never opposed taking it out. We have worked on some language and found that it's not necessary to amend what's already in Section 41 because there was, Ms. Larson found a provision that actually did not go into effect until July 1st of this year, even though the other changes in the charter school law went into effect July 1st of last year. And so there is no need for, and so with the department, we have agreed that that is appropriate to move forward as it exists in Section 41. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I want to make sure that the staff is helping me keep track of this so that we come back. Please welcome to the committee.
For the record, my name is Kelly Sharpentierberg. I represent the Minnesota State College Student Association, and I just want to speak about the PSEO piece on both sides. We appreciate both sets of language and believe both policies should be adopted. We just want to make sure that all of our students and our parents are informed about all the options that are available for them.
Thank you very much. Anybody else who wishes to share thoughts, concerns, support? Fantastic. So we're going to break probably until about 2:30, Mr. Chair, if that's okay with you. Yes.
Madam Chair, I do have a speaking engagement downtown at 2 o'clock at the Poverty So 3 would be a better time
three
for
would
me
be a better
if
time?
We're going to wait that late.
Fantastic. So to give you, yes, Peter. Yeah, we will go back to our usual room. This is just, we wanted to give you a little bit of a brief. This is what's going on, and then you can go and think about it. And I wanted to receive the list from the House and all of the information so that all members have what we need. If you have any questions, Representative Yeruso.
This is in light of Sue Abderholden's testimony about the 504 plan thing yesterday. I mentioned, I don't know if it's too late for this, but if there was any way we could craft some language that would include the 504 plans but subject it to some sort of individual review that might help the issue. So it wouldn't open a great big wide gate for it, but it would allow for these kinds of situations he's discussing. Because, you know, when we were hearing the testimony of students earlier on another bill, we heard a lot of cases where kids have had to transfer schools either because of their own individual issues or because of social issues in their school. I know that I personally have had students that have changed schools because of recovery from addiction, and that one of the recommended things to do for any recovering addict is to get away from the people that you used to associate with. And so that could be one of the reasons that somebody is changing. I think that, you know, to have a blanket just leave it out entirely, I think wouldn't serve those students. But at the same time, I think there maybe could be some restrictions on it. So I don't know. You know, it'd have to be somebody other than me that would come up with that language.
Thank you, Representative Yeruso. I think it's important that we do think about, creative ways of resolving, because sometimes getting language in or getting language out is just not a creative way, but just postponing, because we'll have to come back to it. So we will probably reconvene around 3:30. We'll think about the time, and then if you can think about, working with others and come up with something, that would be incredibly helpful. Senator Nelson?
Just before we leave at that point, I think that is a legitimate point, and while I know that 504 plans can be kind of vague, I do believe that reinserting the 504 language with some parameters regarding a review process from both schools or with the high school league, I think I would hope we could come up with some language that would accommodate that.
Wonderful. Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to address this issue, I think one of the concerns is that for a 504 plan, there really doesn't need to be a diagnosis. There's not a process that has really gone through to assess, indeed, what is the extent of the issue that's being addressed. And then also I'd ask perhaps Mr. Arneson to come forward, because I believe the Minnesota State High School League does have an appeal process that students could access regarding transfer eligibility issues of this nature. So if we could ask
Mr. Arneson, if you could join us.
Madam Chair, members, Roger Arneson, representing the High School League. We do have a process. What the provision in the House does that's different, that we think is very, very good, is currently when a kid transfers, and this is a policy deal, that if you transfer, you're ineligible for a year, unless you meet some of the other criteria, you actually move, et cetera, et cetera. The special ed kids, this is a special, very, very different kind of matter when they're transferring, and so the thought on the league's part, and in response to Representative Detmer's bill, was that we would create a separate process, that these would not be ineligibility appeals, that instead they would be reviews. Not that they were presumed ineligible, that we're going to look at this and we're going to talk to the district that they were leaving, saying, do you think it's appropriate with the IEP team should they leave? And we're going to fill the form in and work those through the league in an expeditious manner. But the statute does create a bit of a standard in it, and it says the league is to do rules to adopt the standard. I think what Representative Yeruso is suggesting is a very good suggestion that we certainly could do, to say establish what the guidelines are for reviewing 504 transfers as well. What we don't want to do, and I think that Representative a couple members raised this in the House Policy Committee of, well, we don't want kids going out to get 504 so then they could use those to transfer to another school to avoid the rule. That's what we want to avoid. But on the other hand, organizationally, I think we all want kids to participate, and that's an important sort of deal. So how do we balance the two of those? So we certainly could, and work with staff, come up with some language by the end of the day that makes it a little separate in this piece for the 504s. I think we could make that work to say that the league's going to identify how we're going to handle the 504 transfers as well. What we really want to focus on with this, because this was an amendment that Representative Detmer agreed to, that we'd make the rules about this. That was a big accommodation on his part, and we like that provision that's in the House language very much. And we think we can do this, in that fashion. So if we said we're going to do some other things with 504s, I think that would we could work that out by the end of the day. So, and there is, as we said, if they're ineligible, they always have an appeal process. That's a cumbersome, difficult process, to be sure, and we want to kind of get them out of some of that if they're 504s and IEPs. Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, again, members, if we're going to have plenty of time. So, Representative Yeruso, Senator Claus, and Senator Nelson, and others who may be interested in drafting perhaps a proposal, a recommendation, that will be incredibly helpful, because then we can just come with a clear understanding that this is something that people agree to, that, schools can do this and that is implementable and that it helps us move into really a more comprehensive, positive approach in policy. The same is, I think, I would like to say that the same is true about some of the language that apparently you're already working on for Representative Bly's proposal that came from the House. If there is anything, Representative Bly, you're here, that you can help us, you know, kind of craft in order to bring it back so that we can incorporate some of the changes that address some of the concerns that members have, that will be of tremendous help. So I don't know, Representative Bly, Senator Clausen.
To that point, Madam Chair, we do have an amendment that we've worked on, and I think that we can...